Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
I got shows coming up, people, and I really want to see you there. So let me give you some specifics so you can get tickets and make plans. November 18th to November 20th, I will be at the Helium Nightclub in Portland, Oregon. On November 27th, for one night only, I'll be in Calgary, Alberta, at the Southern Alberta Jubilee Auditorium. And that is a charity show for the Owen Hart Foundation. From December 2nd through December 4th, I'll be in Rochester, New York at Comedy at the Carlson. And right now, those are all the dates I'm going to give you. If you want more, check me out on my website.
I was in New York and in Carolina, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was like I spent summers in, I'm in high school at the time.
So you was the cool kid when you go to Carolina.
Yeah, yeah, very much so. Like,
whenever I meet guys from North Carolina and I'm like, why? They're very East Coast hip hop oriented. I'm like, how did that happen?
Because it's the pipeline. I kind of had it backwards, whereas a lot of New York cats had to spend the summer in down south. You know what I'm saying? I was in high school down south. I couldn't wait to get back home. You know what I'm saying? As soon as the last bellow's done, I'm out. I ain't even have to ask permission. Like, I'm already a little grown man.
That's the first version of black privilege right there, because we didn't have nobody in the South to go to unless we went all the way south to the islands. When y'all were going to Atlanta, I was like, y'all could go to Atlanta?
But I had the best of both worlds. Yeah, because at the end of the day, you know, like, when they going out south, y'all might be going to Puerto Rico or to Cuba.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, or what have you, you know what I'm saying? Like, they just going down south. You know what I'm saying? Like,
when you was going back to school, was you bringing down tapes?
Yeah.
From up top? Please.
Like that's what I was about to, I was about to answer your question. I'm about to answer your question. Like, you know, as far as me, when I knew that hip hop, like when people were like, it's a fad, this and the other, I thought they were retarded. You know what I'm saying? But I ain't say nothing. Mm-hmm. Because I carried it from New York down south, and I saw how it affected the cats around me. Mm-hmm. Right. You know what I'm saying? And that I was willing to carry it.
Yeah,
it was here. There was no doubt that it was here. It was just a matter of what we were going to do with it.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? But I saw its ability early. I remember the first time I heard a beat on television. You know what I'm saying? I knew what it meant when it happened, because prior to that, I never heard a beat on television.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So just to hear a beat on television and someone talking over selling something meant that we was next. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? We're next. You know what I'm saying? And we had a ride. We was here. There was no turning it back. We were music. You know what I'm saying?
What year did you start hip hop? Like, got involved?
I mean, from the first time I really ever heard anyone ever spit a rhyme, or even
your first song that you heard then? Like, or was it one of those Cold Crush mixtapes?
Nah, that's later. I'm still going back and forth. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And like, I'm probably hearing, you know, King Tim the Third, or you know what I'm saying, or
yeah, we were roller skating to all that shit.
That before Rapper's Delight?
No, that was all after.
Because I didn't know hip hop until Rapper's Delight.
Right. A lot of people.
Well, you know, you got to remember. Yeah. So, when Rapper's Delight hit here in L.A.,
it was like it was an extension of disco because it was the Chic song mm-hmm. that they were using. So it was like, oh, they're just doing some kind of flow over the Chic song, right?
Right.
I thought there was gonna be a fad and that it was gonna go. I really did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nah, not at all.
Me either. I fell in love with it off the rip.
I was in love with it, but I just said it's so good it can't last. This can't last.
Yeah, no, I didn't say that at all.
Interesting. Yeah, I guess but ultimately, like it just spoke to us. Like especially, I think especially once the first time I ever touched vinyl.
See if you can relate to me on this though. You guys were
all about hip hop
because you guys were on the East Coast, right?
Right.
Thank you, sir. So here. We couldn't relate to it because we didn't have it in our face. So when it got hot here, you know, you had your early hip hop cats that was doing their things, King T and help me here with some of the cats that were early on.
Well, you probably heard these cats, Last Jam, Radioactivity Crew.
Yes.
Them dudes you probably heard, Egyptian Lover
and Rodney Owen Joe Cooley.
Rodney Owen Joe Cooley, yeah.
And then when when NWA hit, with Ice Cube and all them cats, that's when we felt it. At least for somebody was like, oh, finally something for us.
Yes. Right.
Other than that, I just thought it was like, oh, that's some New York shit.
Yeah.
Just like how DC has house music.
That's
what. Never came here.
Go, go, go.
That's what I mean.
And that's a valid statement when you lining up next to Go-Go, because I would have thought that Go-Go as well would be something that we all would be
gravitated to.
Yeah.
Because
it's an amazing form of music. Go-Go is beautiful.
Right.
And the fact that we all can't say 5 Go-Go records that right now.
I can't.
I get ready in D.C., so.
Oh, yes.
So I know one.
But
I'm going to tell you something. That's a real valid point.
Yeah,
like Doing the Butt came out. They really wasn't accepted that record as a Go-Go record in D.C.
Right, because it was too commercial?
Because it was too commercial.
Yeah,
right.
It was way too commercial. And there was like the audacity of Sugar Bear going in the studio and cutting this record. Because what people never understood about Go-Go, first of all, it's called Go-Go because it continued.
He didn't know that was going to happen, but the people didn't look at it like that. But they should never look at it like that because they know there's no artist that's going in there to make you feel like that.
Yeah.
Never.
But the thing, key of Go-Go has always been the live, the PA tapes. Or to this day, you go and buy PA tapes. Like, if you go to the club, any club, and they're playing Go-Go, they have a live band, people will wait to the sound man edit that joint, and he really doesn't edit it, and he just make copies, and you buy them.
Yeah.
Because the key of Go-Go is the live feel. It's one of those music that it's a reaction, it's action, a reaction.
Right.
But so you know,
what the band is giving you.
Rock the Bells is a Go-Go sample.
Yes, there's quite a few songs.
And then now you got Rich Harrison sampling like crazy.
He's from D.C.
Yeah.
But it within itself is amazing. Like there should be so much more usage and us understanding it. Especially I think in Black and Latin culture, it's of us.
And I tell you this much, I was blessed to have a good friendship with the Godfather Go-Go who passed away, Chuck Brown, and interview him. And he said what he did was that he mixed gospel with salsa because he used to be in a Latin band too. So what he did, he mixed it. And he just saw that people started getting this reaction when he was, you know, when it was playing. So they just kept on.
Yeah.
One song,
which is another genre that kind of went away. Salsa. Right. And also freestyle music was another genre. Did that ever reach over here?
No. Freestyle. So freestyle.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
What do you mean freestyle? Like freestyle? Yeah.
Nah.
That's no, like
north. We had that.
Oh, because y'all had poppers here.
Yeah, we had poppers.
Yeah. Freestyle. See, in Toronto, we always thought freestyle came out of Miami.
Yeah, bass, right?
Yeah, but
I thought it was bass.
Well, even like One Way, TKA and all that shit.
Right. Yeah.
Set Melendez or whatever. Yeah. Fucking, yep. You know, all that shit we yeah, thought was all from Miami. We didn't realize it was coming from New York.
She really got the party started.
You yeah,
know I mean? Oh, you really should did. Love a lot I mean, of house music too.
Especially we love house music.
Like, love house
music. Up rock. If anybody who ever rock, up rock loved all of that.
There was like, a quick moment. There was a quick moment when B-boys, the younger, the next generation of B-boys, they only had freestyle to dance to because it was up tempo, right? And if you spoke to K7, he wrote a lot of like Maria to like Spoonie G.
He actually listened
and wrote his verse, and then the music was done, and he put the, you know what I mean?
Okay.
That's how a lot of that was made.
That's
but my question to you, when you get back breaking or Beat Street, like, is there a, do you see a difference?
So for me, I saw Wild Style first.
Okay.
So I was like, yo, this shit is incredible. And because it was so-
In what time?
I saw it, I was in England on vacation with my family in 1984. Mm. And it was like May or June. And I went to my office, I go to the video store, rent a video, and I saw Wild Style. I just saw the graffiti and I was like, huh, let me see what this is about. Was that I didn't know about 84? It. That it was 84 when I got it, when I saw it. Yeah. And I was like, yo, what the fuck? Because I was already b-boying already at the time. And I was like, I got it because I thought it was going to be a b-boy movie.
Okay.
And then, yeah, there was some dancing in it. But then when I saw how gritty the rhyming and the scenery was and how shitty the acting was, yeah, I legit thought it was a documentary at first.
Yeah.
Wow. Can you break down the meaning of b-boy? No, I'm serious.
The actual dancing, or
no, I'm dead serious.
So I was a breaker. I was break dancing, and I was already into hip hop.
Okay,
so which means you were already a b-boy at that point,
right?
B-boy and I was into graffiti.
Yeah. Okay, I heard b-boy my entire life,
right?
And I'm bold enough in this conversation to say, what the fuck is a b-boy? Because you guys are gonna share that with me. I've always been, yeah, you know the b-boys. Now I'm like this. I don't know what a b-boy.
When Crazy Legs comes here, shake his hand and be like,
I met Crazy Legs.
Yeah, so then that's a b-boy. But the problem with Run like the term b-boy so much that he started saying he was a b-boy. And then Legs approached Run about it, and he said, why are you calling yourself a b-boy when you don't dance? So if you understand, back then, everybody got tested.
Oh, okay.
Which was different.
When he said, bad b-boy made for the b-girls.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And Legs is like, what? Damn. Go battle, but they didn't. You know, they prided themselves like, no, we're B-boys. This is the definition of what we do. You can't casually call yourself a B-boy.
And a B-boy basically is a break boy. Yes, okay, that's what he wanted to know.
He just liked the way it sound. Like, he thought it was bad boy.
Got it. That's what I thought it was. Okay. So, you know, when you hear that, you know, Run's talking about getting your B-boy stands, I just thought, okay, that's some bad boy shit.
I mean,
I did not know.
But I feel like that Run co-opted it, and that the word kind of moved forward. You know what I'm saying? To the degree
right,
that.
Right, but when you talk to a purist or the architect.
Without question.
I'm not going to question.
No, but I'm talking about.
I'm going to let him know how you feel.
Because
hold on, we have a caller.
there's not a project in New York that the entire crew hasn't stood in b-boy stances and taken pictures.
Absolutely.
That's because it's become popularized, like EU, right, when they doing the butt, you know.
Jay-Z, B-boy, then later on they started doing B-boy minded MCs. Okay.
And then they started doing a D-boy, which is a drug dealer who was doing that.
I think that's where it got great. Once cats started making money, I think they embraced being a D-boy within it. You know what I'm saying?
A B-boy?
Not a D-boy, but a D-boy within it.
That was different. You know
what I'm saying? There's a difference in doing it for the hustle and doing it from the heart.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And, you know, like, I get it. We can't knock it. We can't knock the hustle. You know what I'm saying? But sometimes the hustle's to be knocked. You know what I'm saying? All money ain't good money. Right, you know what I'm saying? And I look at, you know, sometimes what it took for us to have the assortment of millionaires. You know, that it's almost like, you know, when Nas says the crack game, you know, is in comparison to the rap game. Yep. Well, we know what the crack game did to the community. You know, in comparison to the rap game now, let's juxtapose this shit. You know what I'm saying?
Like, but again, in New York, the crack game funded the rap game.
Not to a certain extent. I can't even say that. That's a quarter, if a quarter. Like, it didn't stand on.
Well, what there is valid point. It didn't fund it, but the kids who made songs,
right?
They would make songs for the drug dealer,
right?
And it was a customized song.
Well, it was a lifestyle. It was the I think that's where we started adopting that lifestyle. I'm not gonna hustle.
But what I'm saying is that there's a difference. You know what I'm saying?
You can hear a dude who was in a gang a year ago. He sees what everybody else is doing and making money and looking at all these hoes in the video. Right. He want to do that now, today. So he starts rapping. But you can tell the difference. There is no, you can tell in his flow, he's, first of all, he's not in the pocket. Second of all, you can tell there's mad schools missing in terms of he never battled in the park. And yeah, you can hear that you never battled in a backyard, a party. And it's just, you can tell, all I want to do is get paid.
Are you talking about in terms of L.A.?
I'm talking about in terms of now.
That's a blanket. That's a blanket.
Yeah. I can accept that, but it goes for just about any hood.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're gonna any accept hood that. Could do, you know, a guy wakes up, he doesn't even do the knowledge anymore. He just wants to be.
Right.
You know what I mean? He wants to be that guy.
Right.
He doesn't have to learn who Afrika Bambaataa is or who Ku Herc was or why this is important.
I have a hard time crashing at night because it's always been hard for me to wind down. A lot of people have recommended I try CBD products, but I always hesitated to try them because it was so hard to find a reliable source. Luckily, I got turned on to Papa and Barkley, an awesome CBD company that creates award-winning CBD solutions for pain, stress, sleep, and everyday wellness. And unlike less effective CBD brands, they have an unmatched, clean, chemical-free, whole plant process with proven results. For my sleep issues, I've been using the regular strength relief drops in lemongrass ginger, and just a few drops before bed really helped to calm my mind. I like to think that my brain is smart enough to know it needs sleep to function, but I guess it needs a little CBD nudge to power down sometimes. Anyway, since I've been using Papa and Barkley relief drops, I really feel like I can actually fall asleep when I want to now. And because Papa and Barkley is committed to using CBD in the purest, cleanest form, I sleep even better. Plus, their company has a great story. Papa and Barkley founder Adam Grossman created the groundbreaking relief balm to ease his father's debilitating back pain. From that powerful homemade balm, Papa and Barkley has expanded to a full line of topical balms, oils, tinctures, and capsules, all made with 100% natural, clean ingredients and whole plant. Full spectrum CBD. Today, they're the number one cannabis wellness company in California, and with their new CBD relief line, they can ship nationwide. Papa and Barkley is on a mission to improve lives through CBD in its purest, cleanest form possible. Go to papaandbarkleycbd.com/Peters for 20% off your first purchase. That's 20% off for new customers at PAPA and Barkley. PAPAandBarkleyCBD.com/Peters.
It's sad. I mean, I remember when, who was it? Was it Nelly that came out? And was, you know, when Nelly came out with Country Grammar, and he made that statement about KRS-One and that KRS-One didn't mean shit to him, and he didn't even know who it was.
Right.
I still look at Nelly little to the left. For that, but just for saying that, because I feel like you gotta know where you've been in order to know where you're going.
It's a fact. But it got to a point where Cass didn't care about that.
But is it also a thing of the young school felt like the old school didn't give them their respect neither?
This was before that.
But this is what he's talking about was before that. But this is the division I'm talking about where the hustle and the heart, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like the shit was built on us doing it from the heart. The money didn't even exist. That's the one thing I can say from my era.
There was no money to
the
be
money
dreamed
didn't
of.
Exist. Right. Yeah. Like that's the one thing we didn't see.
We did it for clout.
Yeah.
We did it because you wanted to be the cool guy.
We did it.
You wanted to rock that party. You wanted everybody talking about you.
We did it for the totem pole. To see where we stood amongst each other.
Right.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I started DJing in 85. because I wanted to hear this music, and the only way I was going to hear it is if I played it myself.
Yeah.
And even coming into it, that's my word, like coming into it, like I'm around cats. I step into the room, Tribe was working on their first album. You know what I'm saying? So as much as cats was getting paid up to that point is as much as I'm seeing. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So yes. De La's probably making the most money out of everybody in the room. They're not rich.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, there's I'm a hustling kid. There's nothing they can do that I can't do at this point in life.
So let me ask you a question. You know what I'm saying? Do you, because you look at hip hop like that, do you believe that that's one of the reasons why other cultures was able to come in and
snag it
as owning shit, as executive?
When you say other cultures, you mean like the people down south?
No, I'm talking about like white people.
White people had zero impact.
But if you look at it, you look at ownership,
white customers made an impact.
You know what? There's a difference between white and Jewish. They're not the same.
Nah, hold on. Let me say something.
Not the same.
No, Sugar Hill Records, we give a lot of love to Sylvia Robinson, right? But Sylvia Robinson partner was a gentleman from Yugoslavia.
Okay.
And he was the one holding down the money. It was her husband and her. But narrative-wise, it definitely looks good because it's a black woman who was running the show. However, when we learned later on, she jerked everybody. Mm. And then when they tried to sue her, she burnt the building down.
Mm.
Crazy. Mm.
So, and this is my word. Like motherfuckers be using the same template that, you know, that was used in jazz. That was used in, you know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day,
I don't want to take none away.
Because it's a blueprint to everything.
I don't want to take none away from you. What I do want to, because I know it, the graffiti artists, they weren't listening to rap music because there wasn't enough of it. Mm. You understand? They were listening to rock. They were dressing like rock, dude. Right. You know what I mean? But they were living in the BX. They were living in the hood. They were hanging, and you know, and some of them will be black, Latino, or even white,
because that's Mel and them will tell you they used to go down and hang out at CBGB's. That's where they dress like that and all the leather and shit.
Yeah. So, especially in New York back then, there was so many different
melting pots.
Yeah, yeah.
The radio was different. To be a part of it was real pop and real rock. That was that era right there.
Yeah,
big time. I mean, to be honest, it's crazy. I don't know if you saw I saw this thing about Aerosmith. And the story of Aerosmith with Run DMC. And the crazy part is that until I saw that documentary, I always thought that Aerosmith did Run DMC a favor, but reality was that Run DMC was the one that did them the favor because...
But neither one of them wanted the record to be made.
Neither one, because Aerosmith was broke.
But let's digest.
That wasn't hit. That song was out 8 years before that. It's crazy.
Digest the beauty, and I would call it beauty, that Rick Rubin salute Larry Smith, who was doing the early stuff. And then Rick Rubin,
was amazing as well.
Who was implementing the rock sound, then gets the Beasties and all the Fresh Fest toys. Beasties was on it. Now people will come out to see Beasties.
Can I pause for one moment? Did you see the Beastie Boys fucking documentary?
Yes, it's phenomenal.
I didn't see it.
You could watch it a few times.
Yo, big salute to the Beastie Boys. Mm-hmm. I had no idea. It was much like a conversation with Ray Parker Jr. I had no idea the shit that they did behind the scenes.
Yes.
And didn't get credit for.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Yes.
And they got jerked. They got jerked by Russell. Russell. And big I'm salute saying to the this Beastie because Boys. They're white artists.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm more responsible for some shit that we give credit to other cats for at the very beginning then is on the table.
And let me ask you guys a question. And this is something I need to answer. As far as a musical artist, you know, whether it's hip hop or whatever genre you're in, I've heard the stories about the record label jerking cats and getting them for their publishing or whatever the situation may be. No one particular case in mind. But is it the artist's fault? Because they signed the contract.
Mm-mm.
Wait a minute, hold on, let me just finish. I'm asking the question because, you know, I remember hearing about Tony Braxton's broke and this person's broke and all the Berry Gordy artists that were broke in the day. And, you know, I know that he was doing them a favor in a sense by signing them to a contract, buy their mama Cadillac, get them up out the ghettos and stuff like that. And so I don't really, I don't have a dog in the fight. It doesn't matter. But I'm just asking because I've always wondered, how does that happen? Because they signed the contract.
Yeah. I mean.
Yeah, but listen, you're a kid who grows up in the hood with nothing. No, absolutely hold nothing. On.
You're a kid who ends up, some of them having lawyers, like De La having lawyers and probably you guys having lawyers.
Yeah, but.
And even white artists having lawyers.
But again, a lot of the times, these lawyers aren't guys that Dalen went and seeked out. These are lawyers that the label suggested to them.
Correct.
Okay.
Or so these are guys that are in their pocket already.
Right. Yes.
Or from a pool of lawyers that are
entertainment lawyers.
Especially if they're known, then that, kind of what known means that is that they play the game.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So like to a degree, I think it's some of both. Like definitely. There's the naive, even say, you know what I'm saying, uh-huh. that exists in signing something so long and so open-ended.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, there's definitely the, when they say we're giving you the standard, and that they're the standard screwing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, when
yeah,
they're, you know, like that's
period. This is just a standard contract, which means
you're getting
screwed. We don't know that everybody else got jerked.
Yeah, yeah.
Because nobody was talking about getting jerked back then.
So just how they got jerked, we're going to give you the standard.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
But now,
when you ask your lawyer, is this the standard?
It's going to...
Yes, this is the standard.
It becomes a jerk.
You know what I'm saying?
To answer that question.
I love your energy.
In my opinion, ultimately, it is the artist.
Ultimately, yes.
Yes. Ultimately, yes. The artist.
No, hold on. Wait. Lord Finesse is here, and he got jerked.
I'm gonna break it down. But hold on.
Did you get jerked?
I had what was called a good deal.
Yeah.
And I got jerked. Let me explain why. Because what is standard, if they give you something that's slightly better than standard, which is what I got, something that's slightly better than standard, so I got a good deal. I think I got like 11 points. When you come to find out that 11 points is 11%, uh-huh, and right. that there's 100% that exists uh-huh, out right. here, uh-huh. and I am getting 11% of something that I created?
Are uh-huh. you did something that you me? Created 100% of?
Right, right. right.
Yeah, so, but they, so, they're so, the machine so, that have
so,
to move.
So me hearing 11 points...
To you know what I'm saying? Seven.
they don't say 11%, and the lawyer doesn't break down
right.
11 points right. equals...
Absolutely. I get that.
You got 11 points.
I get that.
I'm just saying, so right off the door, there's language that both of them are using. They're not on the same side, but both of them are using language that you're not right. even familiar with off the rip.
Well, here's the thing. So our business, TV, is very similar to the music industry. It's almost the same business.
But you live in houses like this.
But that's
you've given out a couple of contracts.
I have, but here's the deal. But I know that. Let me just give you an example. I create the Jamie Foxx show with Jamie, right? And I know that show's made hundreds of millions of dollars, right? I haven't seen a penny of back end from that money from that show yet. Not one penny.
Mm.
Now they gave me enough up front to where I was. Smart enough to make some moves to get myself in a comfortable position to live.
Right.
But then you start going, hey, this should be an annuity. Am I supposed to get money off of this for the rest of my life? And I'm still waiting. And I'm going to Jamie going, hey, man, we should go see these people. Well, his position is he's doing movies for Warner Brothers, so he don't want to fuck with it.
You don't want to rock the boat.
Right? So my thing is, well, I'm not. Mm. So, but then they make it so hard because in order to even just go and get a forensic accountant, you got to put a retainer of probably 150 grand down, right. and they might not find nothing. So it scares you from even wanting to go.
Or even pursue it. Real talk.
So it's the same as in the record industry.
Oh, without question.
Well, look, in the music industry, the return was you got fame.
Yeah.
Right? Mm. They'll jerk you and stiff you real nice, but at least, you know, you're a household name.
Not all the time.
Not all the time.
So finesse.
For some cats, that was the trade-off.
Well, here's the deal. I mean, if I know... I just use a broad example. If I know what Michael Jackson meant to the world, and I know he wasn't a billionaire when he died, there's a problem with that. That is a jerking, but did he know what he was signing? Because if you tell me
that a guy like Jay-Z is a billionaire, and that's no besmirchment on Jay-Z. I love him, right?
Right.
But if you tell me that he's a besmirchment, that's right. I'm going deep.
Got an invoice. That's that
right. You got that right. It's right up. It's real. But if he's a billionaire, and Michael Jackson never sees $1 billion, and we know what he meant to the entire globe.
You're right.
Was that a screwing, or is that just a standard?
Well, I'm
really asking the question. I don't get it.
Unless that money didn't only come from music.
Okay.
You understand? So it becomes from other business dealings that they can do. Kind of like we talked about Michael owning publishing. You know, right. a lot of other things that you do later in your life, your business deals, your collaborations, your sponsorships and endorsements, clothing lines. You know, they did $300 million on clothing line with Rockaware 1 year. And, you know, it was very fruitful.
But now we're arguably talking about the most popular face to ever walk the planet Earth.
Yeah, but Michael Jackson, also,
most recognizable face.
But the LA Gears fell.
But remember this about
yeah, but
Michael.
Which face? He had a few of them.
Those publishing that Michael bought cost him a lot of money also.
Yeah, the overhead of the two were probably really different.
Hold on, guys, my dad has something to say.
Hey, this dude go. Well, I think what it is with the industry also, when they said, is it the artist's fault? It's two levels of the game. When you get an entertainment lawyer, he is that. That's what it is. He is a entertainment lawyer. He has a lot of relationships with all the people throughout the industry.
Mm-hmm.
And those are his friends. So he's going to get you a good enough deal. Well, is it going to be the best deal? No. When you have a problem with the labels, that entertainment lawyer wants no part of that.
Real talk.
Because now he has to go against his friends.
Right. Real talk.
He's not going to lose all the money he can make because of you having a problem. And that's when you got to understand you got to get a litigator. Litigator don't care about nobody. If you write, you write. I'm going to fight with you. And that's what artists don't understand. When it's a standard contract, it's a standard contract, and it's up to your lawyer to navigate, to plug the holes in the contract.
I'll tell you the scary part.
The best deal you get
when you're an artist with only one bite, one label responded to you, and that's all you're negotiating. That's when you're in a situation where you're like, hold up, what am I going to do here? And we have to remember, this isn't the friendship business, it's the music business. Right.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This Thanksgiving, be thankful for family, food, and free bets. That's right, DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, has a Turkey Day no-brainer you can't miss. New customers can bet just $1 on any Thanksgiving NFL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, you can still get on the Thanksgiving NFL action. Make your first deposit and you can play free for millions. with DraftKings daily fantasy football contests. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code Peters, bet just $1 on any Thanksgiving NFL game, and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. That's promo code Peters this Thanksgiving at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
That's where you got a decision to make. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I think in those particular type of situations, it's still not for you to sign this standard, because what the standard is it has you stretched out. Mm-hmm. If these has to be the terms,
7 years.
If these has to be the terms, yeah. let's do it for 1 or 2 years.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But the reality is, an artist is gonna sign
whatever, and I'm gonna figure it out later.
Right.
Right.
I need this deal.
But there's a couple of things that go into that. Number one, if you look at hip hop, you have to be young. They don't go for a guy that's 30, 35 years old. They go for the young people. That's number one.
Right.
So how many young people?
How many young people like
Russell said, that coming from the hood, that ain't getting 3 meals a day, that looking at all these people, but he's around his crew and they say, yo, you nice. You could be the next one.
Right.
You could be on a tour bus. You could be on billboards.
Your point?
Those things are the shiny things to a lot of artists. So an artist, a lot of young kids. Right, but they're gonna get you young. Look at an artist come out, naive, 17 ignorant. Years old, 18 years old. They don't know shit about shit.
Younger, yeah.
They don't know shit about shit. They don't know about the lawyers and the deals and all of that. They should now, though. What's happening now,
it's the label doesn't look like we what looked it used at to it. Like. They look
right.
like us.
Right.
So it's your own homies, your OG who's jerking you.
But I think it's worse now because they're getting some of these guys that 360 deal.
No, but that's fine. That supersedes music.
Right. Yeah. Which is crazy.
Because the money's in the brand now.
Right. The money's not in the brand.
It's not even in the record.
So whatever you decide to be, from rapper to actor,
to your merch, that all involves them. This is old thought of thinking.
My point is, with 360 deal, we're businessmen, right? If you're doing 360 with me, you buy my brand. That means you're trying to get in not only on music, you're trying to get in my tees, my logos, you're trying to put my shit on Popeye's chicken, you're trying to do all of that, right?
Right, right.
So now I have to look at myself as a brand. Now, if I sign that, then I'm coming from a place of weakness, right?
Absolutely.
Now, if I really work this angle, then I can be pretty much ASAP Rocky, Megan Thee Stallion. All these individuals know the value of their brand now. Now they're putting themselves on a Reese's Pieces. They're getting a bag.
That's why
But wait. You said the specific point. Those that know the value.
There you go.
Those that know. But most people don't know.
Well, let me ask you this.
The concept of 360, that just came with branding recently, merchandising.
Well, that comes with the sales of records.
No, I know. My point is the knowledge.
The label says,
We don't make enough money.
So the first thing they cut out is the development of the artist. That's the first thing they cut out.
Well, the first thing they did that.
Then after that, they cut out everybody in promotions, kept one person in promotion, and called the VP of promotion of the label, right? But all that person is really doing is just talking to the PD, and right now is the senior vice president of program of the label that makes the decision. She's not even a program director. So the one thing that an artist doesn't understand is that number one, they don't understand how those labels are in bed with the radio stations. So that's how they're able to get, because believe it or not, to this day, artists want to hear themselves on the radio. They want to, and radio is not even necessary nowadays, but they want to hear this stuff because that's the pinnacle. Yeah, that's reaching there.
No, because what they do is they appeal to your ego. That's
exactly.
It. And artists are ego-driven humans. Absolutely. That's just the fucking way we are.
Absolutely.
And that's why your ego is one of the things that'll bring you down. The ego and greed always fucking ruin everybody.
Absolutely. And something we learned from Ice-T.
And bitches.
Something we learned from Ice-T was that his music wasn't on the air, but he was selling a lot. You know what I mean?
But it's like Master P.
He was
Master
one of the
P
few,
was
though.
A genius.
He was one of the few.
Master P was a genius. What Master P did, and I'll never forget, is that Master P went to, first he hit the streets where he was from.
Cool.
Then the smartest thing he did, I'll never forget when he came to D.C. and every, because I used to do on air, because radio really doesn't pay where people think
right,
to pay.
Right, no.
So yeah. I was ahead of the street team and I was on the air. And he would come to everybody here in the streets and be like, look, guys, I'm going to give you $5,000. I need y'all to flood this whole city. Because back then, you put up the posters on the poles.
Right.
You driving the KYS on the radio station truck. You got their CDs. They give you the sample.
The promo.
So he was smart enough. He gave us the promos. So everybody that had a promo, and he was smart enough to say, this is how I'm going to pimp the game.
Right.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, okay, so now there's been all these documentaries, and this is all recent stuff, with Clarence Avon and all the different ones that are showing today's artists, you know, how not to get screwed, right? But they've been owning labels since Sam Cooke owned his own label.
Right.
James Brown had his own label, had a jet and a home. People don't talk about that in our black history, that James Brown was riding around in his own jet.
Right.
And so was Otis Redding. You know what I'm saying? They don't talk about that because these were people that were educated. Now, they're rare birds at that time.
Right.
Now, today, it seems average.
Today, you have Run the Jewels, you have LP and Killer Mike, who have been doing music forever. They come up with this new brand. Now they got Mattel, now they got Marvel, they got toys, they got their songs in Venom. But then you have Griselda, another group.
Sure, I get it. But here's the thing, like what Antonio said.
So they don't sell those 360. They know the value of their brand.
They know the value of their brand.
But once again, it goes back what Lord Vanessa said is the people that know, and I think the assumption that we have is that everybody knows.
No,
and
that's
even
not.
The information is right there. I can pick up the information right there on
that's
my
not
phone.
It. But they it's won't. Not they don't. They don't. It's not the perception that people know. People should know. Is that this today? I'm not talking
today,
about when I signed my deal or you signed your deal. You signed. Right. I'm not talking about then nobody knew. Right.
Right. Right. Today is a different day where the information is at your fingertips.
It absolutely. Is. But again, you're still dealing with young people.
Yeah. Exactly.
And young people inherently do not want to listen to older people.
That's true.
And they broke.
They were like, if you're so fucking smart, how did you get taken?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And we're like, well, why don't you listen to me and I'll tell you how to avoid it. Like, why do you give a shit? Fuck you. I don't trust you. I'm signing this deal.
And then
they're doing things out of spite almost.
Yeah, and say shit like this. You ain't make no money. The money I'm looking for, you didn't even make half of the money I'm looking for.
Yeah.
My bonus is more than your career.
And the reality of that is young people.
Yes.
Do you understand the only reason you are making the money that you are about to make is because we took the money.
Yeah, you had to
we
get
took to get you.
You needed a front line.
You know what I'm saying? What I mean? Word
you
up.
Needed
so
a
please
front line.
Don't ever get it mistaken.
Nah, but
when
dress.
They say that shit is irritating.
I know.
You know what I'm saying? Because it's almost like they think they fucking invented the walk.
Yeah.
No, dress. Listen, right. And they need to know it. Like anytime you're about to make some money, someone did something that you can do that.
You're stepping on that shoulder to get higher.
You definitely are. Don't ever think that
what I want you to understand from interviewing a lot of these young cats who are popping right now.
Yeah.
They have an OG who I remember in the scene.
Oh yeah, without question.
You know what I mean?
Who needs to be telling the shit that I'm telling them?
Yes.
But you can't tell them. You can't tell them that right now. You have to understand the way that the game is.
But it's the OG. I've witnessed it.
The game is set up for the OGs to be around.
No man, they fucking. You know that who's the kid with the, oh my God, had the nerve. Hold on, let me put some of these little cats. Yo, this cat had the nerve to not want to, I had to drop off of a show because what's this dude's name? Didn't want to do a show
what they considered an old school artist.
Yeah.
It was this dude's in the eye. The dude with the eye patch.
With the face. He said he was better than Biggie and Tupac, too.
The dude that sings with the eye.
He got no eye?
Yeah.
He's in prison. He's in jail now.
But I'm saying, like, his people wasn't telling him. Like,
bro, but you know who was his family? They OGs. They old Supreme Team, like, that's his aunt.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, an old, I know,
that's
bro.
That's disappointing, man.
Because it's, what is
because,
it?
Because they're diminishing the culture.
Not the Shmurda kids, right?
Nah, you know what I'm saying? You're diminishing to a point the culture where,
when you don't want to associate what's yourself the word? With yourself.
Like, not privilege. Like,
you, that's an excuse. The reason that you're rocking is because of what we did.
Entitlement.
But I think the way the system is built, for the younger generation not to listen to the older generation.
Yo, thank you so much.
The only reason his son is rocking is because what we built. That's the only reason you. Yeah, that's they the don't again. Rocking.
Nobody wants these young. A lot of young kids don't want to be reminded.
They don't.
Yo, because again, crazy. When you were young, the difference is that when we were young, we were the building blocks of this shit.
Right.
So we were creating something new, but at the same time, we didn't want to hear from somebody else above us. Telling us how to do something we're doing.
But the difference is
we were creating something.
That's
now these
point.
Kids
that's
already, it's been
point.
Created for them and they don't want to be reminded about what was there created by them.
But I would have welcomed it. Like if I would have welcomed it. Jumped in my DMs.
Yeah, but it's different.
I would have listened.
But it's different. It's different because
and
you're coming back to what he said. You're coming from that generation, that school, that thought, that beginning.
We also respected our elders.
You know, exactly. If I had a show and
yeah, but you know the kids now, they you know, I'm afraid, you know, I don't say it, but they are the crack kids. Like they're the you know, no parent, they don't have no backbone, no foundation.
But that disconnect, I'm saying like I can't even blame that. I gotta blame us as a community.
Okay.
Like,
absolutely.
We missed there. You know what I'm saying?
Right, because they missed that needs correction. A parent.
Well, that needs correction. Yeah, absolutely. That, and it has a lot to do with, once again, it all breaks down to family structure.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Especially in our communities. Family structure is the fact that systemically the ploy has been to keep it fractured.
That's right.
Has to be facts. Acknowledged, embraced, and navigated.
But here's the thing.
That's end all.
Here's the thing.
Everything we're talking about, it comes back down.
We should take onus as a community.
Right.
But that's not necessarily so, because you do have OGs that school young people. One, once you say something they don't want to hear, they shut off. That's one. Two is you can see labels. Like a label could, I could be trying to sign Destroy. You could be the label that sign and Destroy. And I'm telling Destroy some jewels, because this is what labels would do. Now, Destroy, you're going to tell Destroy you can't be hanging around Ness because, you know, giving too many jewels.
Facts. Yeah, that's true.
They didn't want you to school these young kids.
Facts.
Because the stuff they was doing, I mean, there's so many just different things the labels do to this day to fuck over artists. You know, we can go into this whole streaming shit. This whole shit is fucking illegal.
Right.
Because we ain't signed for none of it.
We ain't signed for streaming.
So how you going to tell us what you're paying us for something we ain't signed up for?
But that's how they did it, though.
Right.
The labels and the streaming companies, they take their argument to Congress.
Yep.
Congress helps the label and fucking streaming company work a deal and tell y'all, well, y'all take care of the artists.
Yeah.
Come on. Artists shouldn't be getting fucking... damn near a percentage of a penny
artists are selfish and they're not organized. Yeah,
I tell you why it's more crazy with that real quick is with the and I was once again I was working the radio then. They went after the record the radio station saying that the radio station actually supposed to cut a check to the artists from the songs that they've been playing. So they actually had to go to Congress at the same time. And what they did was they got in bed once again. They worked deals with the labels. The labels worked the deal with the radio stations. And at the end of the day, the person that got screwed was the artist.
The artist still gets screwed too.
Because you didn't even know what people were spending on your budget. People in staff, you know, that were working your record.
Cross-collateralizing budgets.
Without question. Yo, I've now that I'm not even affiliated with a major label, I've literally done shit on other people's budgets because of relationships.
Yeah. I recorded music on Mos Def's budget.
You know what I'm saying? Like, what kind of shit is that? For that to happen, of course I was appreciative, but nonetheless, you know what I'm saying? Like, wow, I had no idea that it was that simple.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, wow. It's deep because an artist is an artist. An artist want to make music.
Absolutely.
They don't understand the level of what we talking about business wise.
Yo, I'm out here right now. I'm out here right now paid by Def Jam. I am not a Def Jam artist.
I get that. Listen, man, it's like I said, it's the same business in the artist is the artist when you talk about TV and film. That's all I know is TV and film. And I know when I look at a person, and let me just use a name, let's use Will Smith, right? Who's come through the record industry and now he's in the movie industry. I, for the life of me, can't understand why a guy that's probably got probably got over $100 million in the bank, why he wouldn't say, no, I'm not taking your money. I'm going to finance my own movies from now on and I can go get my own distribution deal. Like what Master P did in music and so many others that we know about, that we're talking about. Why wouldn't Will Smith say, hey, I'm gonna put my money up. Oprah, you got $5 million? Let's put our money up and make our own film and distribute that shit. Do you not think that would hit?
Of course it will hit.
It's fear.
I'm gonna tell you why it's fear. Yeah.
That's all. They didn't put up.
Like Will Smith is created by television and movies.
Yes.
He's created by that. A person like Russell, for instance, is not created by the industry.
Right.
So he gets to make his own moves and he knows what it is to invest in himself.
Right.
When an artist that's been given so much money or actor that's been given so much money by the industry, the thought of him putting his own money in, and then that's one. Two is now you're about to go against the grain.
Against the machine.
Right. So
do you really want to do that?
Because you're not informed, you're not educated.
You're too scared to go against the machine.
Like, right.
Let me finish. On top of that Will has to have a vision. You, Bentley, you have a vision. That's what makes you the most dangerous,
right?
Is because the stories and the vision you can tell about us as a community,
speak to
white people can't do that.
Right.
So the people you speak to, as far as your TV shows and your demographics, they can't take that from you.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know how to do our type of movies.
Right.
How many movies that they did where they tried to go back in time, the fucking outfit is fucked up, the slang is fucked up. They can't do that. So that is your gift. That is your superpower that you could live off of for the rest of your life. Because you get it. When somebody comes through and say, yo, Bentley, I got this idea. Boom, boom. You get it. 56, get it.
He get it.
Right.
BMF.
That's why he's winning.
He's winning.
And he's figured out a way to do it by utilizing their money still and their machine, which is brilliant in itself.
Right. And to kind of, I think, even kind of go further into what we're talking about, why Will Smith might not, you know what I'm saying? And why, you know, someone else might and should. You know, like, I think that there's a level of a degree of comfortability, you know what I'm saying, with what you're doing, you know what I'm saying, as far as you willing to take a risk, you know what I'm saying, on your own.
Right.
Now, doing it with someone else, I think he'd probably be more willing to do that. Doing it with three people, he'd probably be more willing to do that. And I think that is one of our, that it hasn't happened, is one of our problems.
Hey, thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed this conversation. If you like the podcast, please be sure to rate and review it on Apple Podcasts so more people can find out about it. And if you didn't like it, go fuck yourself. And follow us on Instagram at Culturally Canceled and Culturally RP on Twitter. We're also on YouTube if you want to see what the backyard kind of looks like. You don't really see what the backyard looks like. You just see where my smoking section looks like. And you could probably sneak a peek in the house, you weirdo.
Also, we have a phone line now, so call and leave a message. You can ask me about whatever you want to ask me about: hip-hop, parenting, food, boxing, MMA, relationships, comedy, sex. I don't give a shit. Ask me whatever you want, and I'll do my best to answer your question. If you want to leave a message, the phone number is 424-666-1983. That's 424-666-1983. Until next week, I'm Russell Peters.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. This week, I talked to Tiffany Haddish in a hilarious, deep, thoughtful interview where we dive into family trauma, grief, sobriety, love, and dating.
I got a big heart, and I'm very forgiving, but, like, don't abuse it. It's been abused enough.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss this one.